And so, Brother Ron, if you would just bring what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18, beginning with we'll start with verse 17 and go read to the end. Revelation 18, beginning of verse 17, if you will stand for the reading of God's word, we'll start at verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. And verse 20 is a verse for the week. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee as we look into these words about talking about a time to come in the future here, and we believe in not so far in the distant future. We see this tribulation that will be brought upon the nation of Israel, bringing her back to her senses for her to recognize that you are the Messiah, the one that they'd been, their prophets had prophesied, and yet they have been so long in blindness, and yet we see this time, a time of great trouble, a great sorrow for Jacob and Israel to experience what it means to have been so long strayed from thee. We thank God for individual Jews and Gentiles alike, that each individually accepting thee as personal Savior, and the joy they can have knowing that they have eternal life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear God, we also continue to pray that thou would provide for us a pastor, those of us that are filling in this time. We count it a privilege and an honor. We recognize that it's very important and essential from thy word to have a pastor. And we know that you are leading and guiding, you'll direct in that way. And we just pray that we as a congregation would remain faithful and be the kind of people that would be suitable, that a good pastor would come to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. So, actually, we'll call this the title of the message, God Hath Avenged You, Part 2, because that actually in February I had that title, but for a little different information. I thought I would just go through a little summary of where we've been over the last 3 years and just see how things have progressed. We've been a few weeks in Revelation 17 and 18, and I believe that 17 and 18 really demonstrate what could, I believe that our current times, our current religious system, our current economic system, and our current political system are ripe for leading us into this kind of setting. This setting has not happened. It's not happening. It can happen quickly. With computerization and the way things are, with globalization, when people looked at a couple of times, you know, in the scriptures, as we started reading this morning here, for in 1 hour, we read in verse 17, for in 1 hour. People say, well, for in 1 hour, you know, I mean, this is global, so that's going to take like, that's just talking about a certain amount of time. You know, the hour is at hand. It may take weeks or months or years, you know, the hour. It may literally mean an hour. We see a similar thing here in verse 12 of chapter 17 that we discussed earlier. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, or 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. What we use the word antichrist, the ultimate antichrist. We know the spirit of antichrist is in the world today. There are many antichrists. But we're talking here about the beast of Revelation 13. There's two beasts in Revelation 13. The first one that's mentioned is we call him the Antichrist. The second beast, we call the false prophet, as it's revealed more later on in the chapters here. And so I believe that chapter 17 and 18 are really chapters of showing globalization that the world has never known before in our written history, because I think that there was a time probably that people traveled a whole lot more around the world, you know, say like 4,000 years ago. There was probably a lot more travel globally, but we don't know that. There's so much information we don't have. I was just looking at the megaliths. It's called megaliths. And people don't know how in the world are those formed, and different things like that are coming up. We know that they were man-made, but it's just lost information. So that might happen again. I mean, people are concerned that everything is going digitized. We could lose all that information. People are throwing books away. They have no hard copies. Well, what happens if things transpire that digital stuff deteriorates? Of course it does deteriorate. But what if we lose all that? Especially now that people are putting it on the cloud, depending on centralized computers. Ay, ay, ay. Things could happen in 1 hour. Things that call it unintended consequences. And yet, who knows? That's just a sidebar here. But I guess the reason is I wanted to point out why I'm spending so much time in 17 and 18. I do believe that we're in a situation now in the world, probably again, maybe as it was before Noah's flood, maybe shortly before the Tower of Babel as well. Might have been a lot of travel worldwide. And I believe other passages in the scripture talks about the uttermost parts of the earth meant that. Didn't just mean in Mesopotamia. Didn't just mean in the Middle East. Uttermost parts of the earth. There were people, Leif Erikson was here before Christopher Columbus. How much else don't we know? Now, when I decided to, this was back in 2017, decided I'm going to start a series in Revelation. As I started reading in Revelation and just trying to understand and just reading about what some other folks were talking about, I was surprised. I couldn't believe people that I thought were Bible-believing Christians had bought into Catholic and Reformed dogma that Israel as a nation had been replaced by their churches, the Protestants and Reformers and Catholics. believing that they are the new Israel, to the extent that they believe that, some of them believe that they've even changed the Sabbath, which is Saturday, as a day, changed it to a Sunday. That's not true. The Sunday today is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. Sabbath is the last day of the week as far as days go. And Sunday is the first day of the week. Mm-hmm. It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
We're celebrating his resurrection and the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're resting in Christ, every day, every moment of your life is a Sabbath. A Sabbath rest in Christ. And that is how Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. Christ fulfilled the sacrifices. He is the Passover lamb. We don't sacrifice lambs. And we don't observe the Saturday because it is fulfilled in Christ. He has shed his blood, albeit, and it's not plan B. How many of you are, and how many that we know of, are failing to understand that Jesus Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Because God is not stuck in time. He came, time is his creation. Space and time is his creation. As we learned this morning in Sunday school, he'll roll it up as a vesture, this fabric of space. Cosmologists and physicists are so proud about coming up with. Well, the Lord talked about rolling up time and space as a vesture. And clothing, vesture means clothing. So, when I embarked on this study into Revelation, I was surprised how many are caught into that. And that's contrary to Scripture. Israel has been set aside for a time. And also, the second thing that I found astounding was preterism. There's a lot of folks. Preterism means that they believe that all of the prophecies in the Scriptures have already been fulfilled. All of Revelation has been fulfilled in 70 AD. Then God is not true to his word because Israel has not taken over all the land that was promised to Abraham. So God can't keep his promises? What a miraculous thing. People were getting caught up in preterism, I think, before Israel came together as a nation. And well, now that they're a nation, they don't like it. Actually, they've tried to destroy them. But now, according to Scripture, they're going to make a false peace agreement. And so that's how they're planning to get rid of Israel as a nation, because it doesn't fit into their created. And then to top it all off, I ran into what's the latest the latest thing that I'm aware of. I don't know how long it's been going around, but New Apostolic Reformation. All the nonsense. So of course, if the Scripture's already been fulfilled, there's nothing more to be fulfilled. Well, these guys are running around claiming that they've got the words of God. And so that's the New Apostolic Reformation, a great cult that's spreading around the world these days. But there's many cults. One thing that I caution folks to do is continue to read your Bible, systematically read through the Bible. And the reason is because you're going to read the majority of what you're reading. Okay, I'll speak for myself. The majority, I don't know if it's the majority, but close to the majority of what I read in the Scriptures, I'm not sure about, don't really understand. But I ponder it in my heart. And I think that is the appropriate way to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read it. And because Scripture interprets Scripture. And as you read it, it's already gone past your eyes and through your brain. And you go, well, I don't get that. And as you read further, it starts coming together. You see how that fits in with what has been fulfilled, or another prophecy that fits in line with that. And you go, wow, isn't that amazing how it all comes together? And so we find that. We just find such wonderful imagery in the Scriptures. As I mentioned already, I've already mentioned the Passover lamb. That was a imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the fullness of time. albeit from God's word, who is true, it was as though he was slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the fullness of time that he literally came as a human flesh to die and shed his blood for us. Jesus Christ, of course, as we read and learned in the Sunday school this morning, is the Jehovah, the Lord, in capital letters in the Old Testament. In the English translation, all in capital letters, Lord, is Jehovah, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, before his incarnation, before he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, read the scriptures and let it soak in, have it there, so you have it in the time of need. And I found that so similar even at work, that if I don't fully understand something, it's really good to put it in my memory, and that when I need it, I'll go, bing, that's what that's for. And I can plug it in, and I've already got it in my brain. I don't have to go look it up. Or at least if I have to go look it up, I kind of know where it is, in the scripture or in the technical books. In 2017, we started on this thing into Revelation, but I didn't just start there. Like I say, I started with, let's talk about Israel at first. And so we read in the scriptures in Luke 21:24, Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword. This is Lord Jesus talking about the future, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so that is what has happened. Israel has been led away captive into all nations, and they've only recently been coming back together. And the time of the Gentiles is still in place because Jerusalem is still being trodden down by the Gentiles. And Romans 11:25, Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. They've been blinded by their, as a nation. There are many Jews are accepting Christ as Savior. Let's not misunderstand that. But as a nation, they are much against God of the Bible. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. Israel has an advantage in that God entrusted them with the oracles. That's what's distinct about them. And we're going to, okay, the next, so when we, okay, when we're finished here in Romans, we'll talk about that. Romans, and then Romans 11:26, just carrying on in chapter 11 of Romans. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, we've covered this already in Revelation, where a big portion of Israeli people, are going to be killed. A remnant will remain, and God will protect that remnant. And we read that in chapter 12 of Revelation. And we believe that this remnant will be saved. And many of them, we've read about the 144,000 virgin Jewish men that will be witnesses to all the people around during that time. And so they certainly will be saved, folks. And many others will come to know him as Savior. And so then there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. And he's talking to believers. Israel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So concerning those Jews that do get saved, who will be the elect, they are beloved for the Father's sake. They are going to play a role because they will not recognize what's happened until they see. Now, what's the, well, I might as well talk, well, we're going to talk about it Matthew 24:15. That's the key verse that tells us that what Daniel was talking about is what is going to happen in the future. When you see the abomination of desolation sitting where he ought not to be sitting, that will be a trigger to the Jewish people. Oh my, we have really got it wrong. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So they are the enemies. During the New Testament, they were the enemies of the gospel, spreading of the gospel as a nation, as a religious order. But you got to realize, these apostles were Jews. They were members of different tribes of Israel. Paul the Apostle being from the tribe of Benjamin. And different other ones, Anna from the tribe of Asher, prophesied at the birth of Christ. And different ones prophesying, and the apostles spread the gospel throughout the whole world. Now, people that, if there are people listening to this right now that are still wrapped up in thinking that they are the new Israel, Well, it's too much to go into now. We've covered this already, but keep in mind that Deuteronomy chapter 9, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. And so this is talking about Israel going into the land. Don't think that you're able to conquer the land because of your righteousness. Deuteronomy 9:5 says, not for thy righteousness, but for the uprightness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And that he may perform the word which the Lord spake unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So do you understand there? It's not because Israel was anything so good, so righteous, but it was because of the wickedness of those countries, that of those nations, that the Lord used Israel to drive them out. And that he may perform the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord, which the Lord, word of the Lord's, pardon me, which the Lord spake unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. And so, do you really want to be in that position of where Israel really is? It's not for their goodness. God created them out of nothing. Out of a woman that was past childbearing, and brought forth a child that began a nation, a great nation, and for the one purpose is to bring glory to God, not because of any goodness in themselves. And Isaiah 45:4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And so then, towards the fall of 2017, we got into reading in Daniel. So establish that Israel is still in play as a nation. They're set aside now until the beginning of the tribulation period, the Great Tribulation. All Christians are going through tribulation. Today, even as we speak, Christians are being killed, persecuted. They have through all time, but the Great Tribulation that begins after the rapture, the believers being caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so in the fall of 2017, we got into Daniel, that there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. That was Daniel 2:28. And so in Daniel, the reason we got into Daniel was because of Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And so that is a trigger for looking into Daniel. And so we looked into Daniel. Daniel 9:26 is one of the key, 26 and 27. And thereafter, and after 62 weeks, and that's weeks of years, shall Messiah be cut off. And that's from the building of the wall and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Shall Messiah be cut off? And he was. Jesus Christ was crucified. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So we covered all that, demonstrating how this 70th week of Daniel is really what Revelation is speaking about. Of course, Revelation having been written about 25 years after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. So that whole idea of preterism, that all of Revelation is fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem, doesn't wash. Okay, so then in 2018, we went into 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Titus to talk about the day of the Lord. Now, of course, the day of the Lord is mentioned many times in the Old Testament, in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Joel and several other books. And then, 2 years ago, April 1st, we've spent about 30 hours in preaching on Revelation. So 30 hours divided by 18, so a little less than 2 hours per chapter. But sprinkled in there is application and different ramblings. But just to get a picture of where we were and how we made it along this way. So that brought us here now to April 2020. And we landed up in chapter 17 and chapter 18. We talked about the people affected by the fall of Babylon. And is this Babylon the literal city of Babylon in Iraq? Saddam Hussein attempted to rebuild Babylon, the city. It talks about a lot about shipping. Babylon is quite a ways away from the port, albeit people are talking about excavating that port further to come into the city. So is it possible? The way things, and I mentioned about 3D printing about buildings. It's surprising that the Saudi Arabians have printed a few buildings already. And it's amazing how quickly these things can go up, and how hard people are working to make it even more efficient. We have no idea where this is leading, but it can happen pretty quickly. So whether it's literally Babylon, but we know that the idolatrous worship of Babylon, when Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians, that idolatrous worship was moved into Pergamos. And then from Pergamos, it was moved into Rome as a center of Babylonian idolatry worship. And so in Rome, Christian words were associated with pagan Babylonian rituals. And so will it make its full circle back to the actual city of Babylon? We don't know. But this chapter 17 and 18 are talking about Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, that the kings of the earth are following and are submissive to. And you know, since 1988, the Vatican has made an alliance with the Islamic, Islamic State. So the Vatican State and the Islamic State have been in alliance since Pope John Paul II entered a mosque in Turkey in 1988 and made that alliance. They are aligned with other religions to make a one world religion and everything, and even evolutionists. This current Pope, Francis, has allowed now atheists to be allowed into their heaven. And so, however, not Bible-believing Christians. Bible-believing Christians are still anathema to that religious order. But what I'm getting at here, and we're just going to get into the final verses here, what I'm getting at is that these kings of the earth, albeit they need to be aligned with this religious order to get their prominence, whether it be in Islamic world or the Hindu world or the Buddhist world or the so-called Christian world, they need to have their alliance with this harlot religion. But they don't like it. They hate that harlot. And they will actually enjoy, and we've read about that, in verse 16 of chapter 17, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And so, and yet, because it affects their economic and political system, in chapter 18, we see in verse 18, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? So whether it be the actual city of Babylon or Rome or whatever city, New York, if you want to extend it that way, but I don't believe that's the case. There's going to be a time where they will be happy to have gotten rid of the religious order. It's really of no value to them anyway, spiritually, but it is for them politically and economically. And yet when it's destroyed, so too is all their economy and politics. And verse 19, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, and in 1 hour is she made desolate. And the verse for today, for the week, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So many that have been martyred, and we read about them in chapter 6, they're saying, how long before you avenge the blood of thy saints? And so it will come. Vengeance belongs to God, and we can love our enemies knowing that it's not for us to avenge ourselves. And so then a mighty angel took a stone, that's in verse 21, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in thee. Okay, so what? No more music. Remember when you hear the sound of the flute and the sackbut and what all those other instruments bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, right? All that music is going to be gone. That's characteristic because God does call us. God does call us to sing songs, sing unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm just trying to find the Oh, okay. I've not got that in my notes, but make a joyful. But God does not. We talked about mixing the holy with the profane in the past, and I'll tell you, it's so sad. The kind of music that's coming is being called Christian. Unbelievable. Joel Amos. There is, some people say, well, okay, you know, we're offering this up to the Lord. You know, why in the world did God say in Amos chapter 5, 21, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of thy fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Judgment and righteousness. So all this praise teams that people worship, they're worshiping the praise team in many cases, and they're worshiping their emotion that they're getting a high. This is not pleasing to God. And so here, that's all taken away. The voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more. I have to, again, I've mentioned this before, that vile hallelujah chorus or song, not the Handel's Messiah hallelujah. I'm talking about the Leonard Cohen one that churches, they've even put different words to it saying, well, that's going to make it holy. And yet, unbelievable. It never made the House of the Rising Sun holy by putting the words of Amazing Grace to it. It just made people confused. It's confusion and it's wickedness. And that whole thing of the Leonard Cohen Hallelujah course is fulfillment of prophecy that because of David's sin, he has caused that the enemies of the Lord would blaspheme. Now, if the enemies of the Lord, often they say the Lord doesn't exist, and, you know, but why do they fight so much against the Lord if he's irrelevant and doesn't exist? So they mock God in that song and misunderstanding that they actually are fulfilling the prophecy that was made by Nathan to David. Now, that's a shame. I mean, David was a saved man, but he had forgiveness. He was trusting in God, and we believers aren't sinless, but the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess directly to the Lord. And so here we find that the music is gone. And in verse 23, and carrying on in verse 22, halfway there, and no craftsman and whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of thy millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Manufacturing, gone. How? Well, we're kind of experiencing a little bit of that. Whoa, all of our stuff comes from China, or it doesn't matter where. Coming from a different place that we have no control. No control over means of production. And that is quickly coming to be a case for everyone. And verse 23, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall no more be heard at all in thee. No more marriage. What's really characteristic of our time? You look on tabloids. So-and-so adulterer and so-and-so adulteress or fornicator are getting married on the tabloids. Why? Why are they doing it? They're fornicators, adulterers? I don't know, but the scripture says that they will be, remember? What's the times like in the last days? People will be marrying and given in marriage. And they will see, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. People are not afraid of death. I talk to people at work. They're not afraid of death. They should be. And we should be giving the warning to them, you should be afraid. Because they have this false, they have a thing hanging on their rearview mirror in the car that they bought with a great price. And that's going to protect them from an accident in the highway. Yeah. No, it is. It isn't. I'm just saying, you're going to die of something anyway, right? You're going to die. You need to fear the one who, don't fear the one that can destroy your body. Just fear God, because the devil can destroy your bring harm to your body by God's allowance. Fear God, who can destroy both your body and soul in hell. Eternal damnation, eternal punishment. That's something, because they've destroyed this woman, and they've seen the destruction of this religious harlot woman. God is the one that puts it in their mind to do it, into their hearts to do it, in verse 17 of chapter 17. And now that's gone. All their marriage is, why marry? They're fornicators and adulterers. They don't really, they live like animals. Some animals. 4% of mammals are not like those people. But a lot of dogs and pigs and that, a lot of these people act like that. But for thy sorceries, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. And so God calls us to love our enemies. We will have enemies. We have no reason to believe, well, we may be facing being persecuted and slain. That's not too important. But we have to have compassion on the lost, because right now they're putting their confidence in things that are fleeting, things that can disappear overnight. And compassion. You saw there that by their sorceries, that word sorceries is the word pharmakia. And it may well be pointing to drugs, pharmacy, drugs. It can be magic, sorcery, witchcraft, or medication. And so we're finding more and more that people are putting their lives in jeopardy by alcohol, all kinds of drugs. They're going to be putting their confidence in vaccinations. They need to be putting their confidence in God, not the one that can destroy the body here, but can destroy the body and soul in hell. And we need to give honor to God and praise Him and recognize, as believers, recognize that vengeance belongs to Him. We don't have to repay. We can just look to Him and be confident. Now, mind you, I'm not saying there's no place for defense. There is a very wonderful place for defense, because that's a picture that God wants us to portray. But that's not something, when it's beyond our control, we understand that God has given us great confidence that we can rest in Him. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee that we can count on Thee and trust in Thee. We pray for those around us that are so frantic, and some of them not so frantic, but they should be, because they have no eternal security, no hope for the future after this life. Our life is short, it's but a vapor, appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. And we pray that we do believe, even by this thing, there are people that are listening to Thy word who never otherwise would have heard Thy word if this isolation thing, segregation thing hadn't happened. And so, yeah, we understand that so much of this is ordained by Thee, and And we just thank thee for it. We just pray that thou'd help us to be faithful and true, and have short accounts with thee when we sin, that we would come to thee when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart, know that we've done wrong, immediately come to thee for forgiveness, and to those that we've done wrong to. But knowing that the works of God are to believe in thee, the one whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.